But women are actually more inclined to try AI out because we're at a disadvantage. A lot of institutions in the world today are not built for women. People are finding that women are wanting to learn, but it's just proving, in my opinion, more difficult for us because, again, the language isn't built for us. I have built a proposal builder or bid writer where after a meeting, just like this, in 5 seconds, I just feed it the transcript and would build a full-blown proposal for me, complete with timelines and pricing. Last night, I built a personal carbon footprint calculator where I would feed it my calendar for the week, and it would estimate my carbon footprint, so it knows where I live.
Welcome to another episode of She Founds, the podcast where women tech entrepreneurs share their startup stories and insights. Today, I'm joined by Shen Salone, the dynamic co-founder of Launch Lemonade. In today's episode, Shen shares her journey of a career in media to tech founder, and how AI has revolutionized her productivity and business strategies, providing some useful insights for founders. Welcome, Shen. It's so nice to have you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We're going to start from the very beginning. Can you tell us about your background?
Sure. I am Filipino, so I was born and raised in the Philippines. And then I took my degree there. I have a degree in media and literature. I then attempted to move to the U.S. So I was in the U.S. For a little bit. I thought I was going to move there. I was actually intending to do film school. But what I was doing there was touring kids at the museum. I was doing summer camp. And then I learned and met a lot of people who were traveling abroad for work. And I thought, why not that? So I decided to move to China after the US for a couple of years. And I lived in China for a little bit. And then I then moved to the UK, and I've been living here for the last 9 years or 10 years almost.
I saw that you have a background in tech. How did you go from quite an arts background into tech?
So in the Philippines, while I was doing media, I also did a bit of coding. And so I understood, like, that has been part of our curriculum actually since I was in elementary, where we had to learn how to code a little bit. And so when I graduated from my bachelor's degree, and I took literature as my master's, actually, weirdly enough, the first few jobs, like the first few roles where I volunteered in, looked for people who knew how to code and manage websites, CSM websites. And so those were my first few roles. And so that naturally progressed to marketing roles. So after teaching roles in China, I decided, all right, it's time to grow up and do something real. And I started volunteering at charities, typhoon relief operations, as either a website manager or a social media manager. I even managed an e-commerce website for Oxfam, a couple of stores in Oxfam up north. That eventually led to roles, marketing roles, actually. But within those marketing roles, I was managing CSM, customer content management systems and CRM systems that naturally progressed to me owning products. So I progressed into kind of like product roles within fintech. And the first few projects that I had was training a chatbot that would help customer service. And that was a big project. Like, we were already using NLP, and this must have been 2018. And then with that as well, some of my projects were like handling a lot of data and customizing journeys with data. And so I started understanding, all right, there's a lot of things you can do with the data that you have in order to provide customers with customized journeys, with journeys that would actually help them. And so I then had projects around affordability models, like delivering affordability models, credit models. So yeah, it was managing a lot of data, working with big teams to provide customers with the best experience possible. And yeah, that was like my product journey.
Have you always had the itch to do something of your own? I know a lot of product managers do have that entrepreneurial spirit because in their roles, they are pretty much what they call the mini CEOs. Is that something that you have always had?
I think it was always entrepreneurial. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I sold like brownies. There was a time when I got my aunt to cook lunch boxes for me, and she would bring it to school and I would sell it to students. But I wasn't a salesperson. So I think that was like the skill that was missing for me to succeed in my previous entrepreneurial pursuits. I was more creative in that sense. I enjoyed like writing, for example. When I was a kid, I had a little bit of an entrepreneurial kind of like spirit in me that kind of died down as I was growing up and exploring other things. I think what I was and always will be is a problem solver. I'm a very curious person and I want to solve things. Like even if a friend has a problem, I'm always a person that goes, what if you do this? Or have you thought about doing this? I always have something to contribute, good or bad. Sometimes it's not needed, but that's how my brain works. And so I guess that's like how I got into not just product management, but this pursuit of solving a problem as an entrepreneur.
Before we dive into your journey of starting Launch Lemonade, would you mind just sharing some of the other projects that you've worked on? Because you mentioned that you've had a few other ideas.
Yeah, when I was starting my product roles and even like when I was in marketing, I had a part-time job here in the UK and I was a wedding photographer. So I took photos of, yeah, basically a friend's weddings and people that they would recommend. But I realized it was so hard. Like as much as I enjoy photography, it is actually very tiring to stand there all day and take photos of people drinking and having fun. That is just, it just wasn't very enjoyable. Before as well, when I lived in China, it wasn't the biggest city. So like guacamole and hummus were hard to come by. And so I actually sold, I called it Kitchen. And I sold guacamole and hummus to like expats as like a side thing, a side hustle thing. So yeah, like those are, when I was starting my marketing journey, I also designed posters and digital content for people, again, as a side hustle. So yeah, those are like the side hustles that I've done before pursuing bigger projects. Last year, before I started Launch Lemonade, I was also a CPO and a co-founder of a fintech app. I decided to step away because I then started a couple other projects. Launch Lemonade was one of them, and the other, Scale That Thing. So Scale That Thing, it's still there. I still have clients as my side projects now, actually. And so I basically deliver fractional product and AI leadership to startups who want to get AI enabled and want to scale. So yeah, there was a lot of things there.
Amazing. Great. So now let's move on to Launch Lemonade. Can you tell us about how you came up with the idea and your journey to, you know, briefly tell us your journey to the point where we are now?
Yeah. So as I was telling you, when I was in my product leadership roles, I worked on a lot of projects around custom journeys and work using data to provide better experiences for customers. And those projects required a lot of funding, a budget, and big teams. However, when GPT came out and these language models became more accessible, I started just basically doing hackathons with friends who are developers and listing down ideas of what I can build and trying it out. And so I already had a backlog of ideas that I want to build, like from like as maybe late 22, early 23. And then I've been exploring these ideas with different people as well, like different ideas with different groups. And then I met my co-founder in December and I basically just showed him my backlog. I was like, these are the things that I want to do. And my co-founder is really big on 0 to 1. So you can get an idea up like that in no time. And I was like, yes, let's do it. Let's explore. Let's experiment. And then we just sat down. We had a hackathon for a day, had coffee, breakfast, and just locked ourselves in a room. And that's when we started coming up with this idea of like, how can we get AI even more accessible to people who don't understand it, don't know where to start, but are eager to learn and capitalize with AI. And that's how we came up with Launch Lemonade.
Fantastic. For anybody that's not familiar with the concept of 0 to 1, can you just tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, no. 0 to 1 basically is how you validate an idea that you have to something that you can take to market to get your one first customer. So it's all about exploring an idea in the most in my opinion, cost-effective way and validate that it is an idea that the market will acquire or use.
And how did you get your first customer?
How did I get my first customer? We basically first spoke to our network. Like, my co-founder had a following on Twitter and I had a following on LinkedIn. So that's how we started driving traffic. Now, the first customer is actually a friend of mine. So he probably just got, and we hung out a lot and I talked about AI in this product all the time. And I got them to, yeah, use it. And like I showed them what it can do a few times. And then they eventually became like our first paying customer.
Amazing. It just shows you the value that of just using your network. Everybody's got friends and family.
Yeah, absolutely. Use your network, but don't force them. Like, understand what they're saying about your product and use that as feedback to optimize your offering and then see at what point they'll adapt. Because it's your friends who trust you the most. Now, if they won't trust your product, that's something else. But yeah, I think utilizing your network is the easiest way to get your first customer and then learn from their experiences, because you've got like that access to them to get their feedback. They already have a relationship that you don't have to build in and invest in more. So it's the easiest way to learn and get feedback about your product.
Great. I saw from your LinkedIn that you have about 60% of your users are female. Are women. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. I think, so yeah, I've been seeing, and I think that's growing now more even so. The last 4 signups that I've seen yesterday were all women. So I think that is even growing even more. The obvious reason is that I'm part of a lot of female networks, but I think also like the second not so obvious reason is the language that I use when I talk. I can change my vocabulary and I can deepen my voice a little bit, so I'm more attractive to a wider audience. But I'm very intentful and meaningful in making sure that I'm not as rehearsed as other people might be, which is paradoxical, but I try to be as authentic as I can be because I think that's how people will resonate with me. And yeah, I'm just myself. And I think as a result of that, people look at me and go, if she can do it, I can do it too.
I love that. And I love that lots of women are getting in on using AI, taking advantage of it and using it to optimize either their business or their productivity.
I read somewhere, I forgot which paper it was or study it was, but women are actually more inclined to try AI out because we're at a disadvantage. Like how there is financial literacy, and how there's pay gap as well. A lot of institutions in the world today are not built for women. And so we fall behind on learning and acquiring a skill because it's not built based on how we understand things, our vocabulary, and like our needs. And so now that there's news everywhere that AI is going to be like the biggest thing and you have to learn it, actually, people are finding that women are wanting to learn. But it's just proving, in my opinion, more difficult for us because, again, the language is a bit built for us. Even the systems aren't built for us. The data that it's been trained and fed, AI itself, like these language models, are biased. And that's just a fact that there's not enough data from women compared to men. I think it's important for people like me and platforms like Launch Lemonade to really provide that space for women so we don't fall behind.
Yeah. On that note, I would think it would be great to highlight how AI is being used. And I saw that you've 10 times your productivity using AI. So can you tell us more about some of the things that you've done to improve your productivity using AI?
I first experienced it when I was still doing product management, actually. And tickets before would take me forever. So when I was working for big teams and the product was growing from a wait list to like millions of users, the tickets became more sophisticated. Like you start having a scrum master and engineering manager and your tickets get checked by a delivery lead. And there was a time when I would spend hours writing tickets, complete with acceptance criteria, all the wireframes sometimes that I would have to build, the definition of done, documentation. And these tickets take forever to write. But when ChatGPT came out, I literally would just sometimes download documentation from an integration, like from their website, and then feed it on ChatGPT and say, write a story about this. Boom. I started prompting then with, okay, start with a who, what, why, a short description, all the user stories, definition of done, and then provide me with documentation for this product to integrate in my product. And it wrote my ticket in no time. And so I was like, damn, I'm never going to have to write user stories ever again. Which if you are product managing, that pain of you just don't understand why you have to write these novels sometimes.
Yeah.
And so that kind of like clicked. And I just did it for everything, for emails that I had to respond, for proposals that I had to write. Like I have built a proposal builder, proposal or bid writer, where after a meeting just like this in 5 seconds, I just feed it the transcript and would build a full-blown proposal for me, complete with timelines and pricing. I just have to edit it and send it back. And so I guess, yeah, so like these things, like you can't automate everything, but you can choose things that are either hard to do or are very repetitive, and then train a co-pilot to just do it for you. And so, yeah, I've done it for all of my social media content, copy and proposal, or bid writing, and even it organizes my email for me. So there's a lot of things that I'm doing that help me, that are helping me scale my productivity. Like I have two businesses. I even have a couple other projects. Amazing. It's just, yeah, it's a revolution.
That's so cool. Now, what comes to mind, especially when we're talking about women, is I can't remember where I heard it, but I heard it somewhere, is that there is this idea that women see using ChatGPT and taking advantage of it in their work as cheating. And so they aren't getting the benefits of it. Do you have an opinion? What is your outlook on that?
So I think it depends on your goal and your principles. There are ways that you can cheat with AI, for sure. But there are ways where you can use it so that it helps you and your business achieve your goals. So if the goal is to increase conversion rate and increase content so that you will drive your SEO up, you are basically just using a tool for you to be more efficient and produce more. In that instance, I don't think that is cheating. Specifically, when, for example, with me, the co-pilots that I've designed myself on my platform have been fed with my information, my style writing, and my knowledge. So I've fed it my previous blogs, ebooks that I've written before, and it's used that as its knowledge base so it understands my tone of voice, my vocabulary. And when I'm ideating and building content, I ideate with it, so I'm still collaborative in the process. And I build my outline sometimes first, which means that, again, I am an active participant in the process, and I edit the content. So throughout the process of creating content and from ideating, I'm a co-pilot. AI is my co-pilot. I am their co-pilot. So together, we're producing the content. From that perspective, I don't see why that would be cheating. Now, if you're taking an exam and you're going to ask the AI to answer all of the questions for you, now that, I'd say, would probably be cheating if the instructions were come up with your own answers, right? But yeah, I think there's a massive difference.
Yeah. Is there a way that you have used AI that is your favorite that you just couldn't live without?
Wow. Okay, these are great questions. So as a product manager, when I started, this was maybe end of, I forgot when this was, but I love Mixpanel. Like I've used Mixpanel for a lot of projects before, and even like Amplitude and Heap. But what I love using it for was taking screenshots of my funnels and reports, of the visual reports, and I would feed it into a co-pilot. I would ask it, okay, come up with a plan, identify the biggest gaps in this journey, and it would prompt it like, this is the starting point of this journey, and this is the end point. These are my goals, conversion rate, the sign up or whatever, or transaction. Now, come up with a plan for me and a strategy for me so that I can achieve my goal, whether that's a conversion to a sign up or a conversion transaction. And it was just like, it was brilliant. It was like, wow. So like, when I came up with strategies and like business proposals before, it took me a week. Mm-hmm. But when I started using AI to analyze my data for me, it was still me, because, you know, like I would still check it, but it just did everything faster. Mm-hmm. So as a product manager, that was one of my favorite things to do. And I still do it for Launch Lemonade now and for my clients as well, which makes everything like faster and also like neater, because like my thoughts can be everywhere. For my personal use, my favorite is taking a photo of my fridge. And because it knows, like I've pre-built within the Copilot what I don't like, my food preferences. And like I could also feed it like what my allergies are. And it would just come up with a menu and a meal plan for me for a week. That is also a very cool use case, I think. Yeah, just there's a lot of things that I do with it, from meal planning to coming up with exercises to, yeah, just everything. Like last night, I built a carbon footprint calculator, a personal carbon footprint calculator, where I would feed it my calendar for the week and it would estimate my carbon footprint. And it would suggest ways for me to reduce that carbon footprint, whether that's, consider ordering this if you're eating out, or considering taking this transport if you're going to that place. So it knows where I live because I pre-built it in the Copilot that I live in Canary Wharf. And then I would then, in the calendar, it would say I'm going to the office that day, or I'm working from home that day. So based on that information, it calculates my carbon footprint. I was just like, wow, I was amazed.
That is really cool. That is cool. Great. So I'd like to go back to talking a little bit about your journey. First of all, you've mentioned driving traffic to Launch Lemonade. Can you tell us what your strategy has been in raising awareness about Launch Lemonade and getting that traffic?
Yeah, I think up until now, we were still in that 0 to 1 phase where we're just validating an idea. And we have been experimenting. I've been on TikTok. I would post on Instagram and build content on LinkedIn. That has just been the strategy. I've done a bit of guerrilla marketing as well. Like I've got stickers. So yeah, it has just been a full-on experiment for me. I think the most surprising channels for me are events, like speaking events and talking and giving a demo. Like I have been giving live demos of Launch Lemonade, and that has been scary. Like you don't see, even OpenAI has rarely done live demos, but I do live demos, and that has been a really good channel for me in driving traffic. But yeah, that's how. Mm-hmm. It's all organic. We haven't invested in ad spend. And so yeah, all of all the traffic that we've driven from all over the world, like we've got traffic in the UK, obviously in America is our second kind of geographic location that we're driving traffic from. Sweden, India, all of this traffic is just from the content that we produce and our experiments.
Is there any particular one that has worked out well for you?
Initially, I think it was, we entered a competition in, I think this must have been early February or late January. We were like weeks old. We just launched. And we entered a pitching competition. We weren't incorporated then. We didn't have a pitch deck. But my co-founder in their network knew someone who was doing a pitch competition with Sam Parr and Ryan Holmes, and they're both like big personalities, so they drove a lot of traffic to like this channel. And the pitch competition was just you have a minute to just record yourself, and that recording would just be played, and it would be roasted by Sam Parr and Ryan Holmes. And I entered, I got selected, and our traffic went through the roof. Even though we were like weeks old, or if, I don't know, not months old, VC started calling us and wanting demos of our product. I reposted the same video on TikTok, which drove like around 40,000 reach on my on TikTok, and got like loads of engagement as well. So I think that kind of catapulted us. And then now I'm seeing that from a conversion perspective, live demos and events are working really well.
Amazing. I love that because I think so often we try and rely on cracking those algorithms for Instagram and LinkedIn and TikTok, and it can be quite hard, a bit of a grind to get there. But I love how you're saying that it's just like live demos of actually showing your product to people is helping to drive traffic.
Yeah, I think entrepreneurs have to be mindful at what point in time to do execute each marketing strategy. So if you're starting, for example, you want to contain and manage the traffic, like you're just experimenting because your product is still being optimized. At that point in time when your product's optimized and can be used by bigger, larger amounts of traffic, maybe that's when you want to double down content because that works. I was just reading 100 million leads and yeah, that really resonated with me, specifically with products that I've managed before as a product manager. There is a point in time that you just want to drive like growth, but yeah, how do you do that meaningfully and how do you do that progressively matters. So there's no one channel that will work all the time, but experimenting and then learning from your experimentation helps. I don't think there's one strategy fits all type of thing.
Let's talk about experiments a little bit, because I think that now I have seen a lot of podcasts and a lot of people sharing about this concept of experimenting. Would you mind just giving a practical example of an experiment that you ran and what you learned from it, just so that people can get an idea of what an experiment is?
Yeah, an experiment in the product world is trying something out, either from a hunch or something you heard, like it could be a strategy that you heard work for someone else. Trying it out cost effectively, as cheap as possible as you can test it out, and then collecting the data to see if it drove your numbers up or down. If it drove your numbers up in a like positive, like conversion, signups, double down. So it's all about trying things out, whether it's an A/B experiment or just doing it and see how it drives numbers, and then using that data to either decide whether you want to double down or pivot, change with your experimentation. One practical way that I've done is, again, entering pitch roasts, where people would just basically try to roast your product. You're not pitching for investment. You're basically just saying, this is my product. Check this out. What do you think? That was a big risk for us, but we wanted to experiment. We wanted to basically kill our product as soon as possible if it wasn't viable, but it proved to be viable. So in early stages of our product journey, we wanted to take the biggest risks possible to see if it would kill our product, but it hasn't so far, knock on wood. And that just meant that we are seeing product market fit and people are utilizing our product.
Great. What is the next stage for you? Where are you now and where are you heading?
So we are seeing amazing growth on our platform with 250% growth on our freemium offering quarter on quarter. And we're also seeing incremental increase and growth on our subscription model. Like we had 2 in, I think, April, and now we have like more than 20. So we're seeing that grow as well, kind of month on month. So this for us means that we need to double down on getting more users in because we have a product that is being usable. We have active users on the platform. And so the next for us is making sure that we provide the same quality and value to our customers and keep improving that. And then, yeah, just growing cost effectively and profitably as well, because right now we are achieving that. So it's about scaling that even further.
Fantastic. What has been the biggest challenge that you've experienced on this journey so far?
I think the biggest challenge is being a self-funded bootstrap company because, yeah, it is a challenge managing like your plans. There's so many things that you can do. You'll never run out. And at the same time, making sure that you're sustainable is a challenge, but it's so much fun. I think it's all about how you perceive what's in front of you. And I'm not going to lie, I have bad days. There are days when I'm just like, oh my God, what is happening with my life? Especially coming from like roles within fintech when I was adequately paid. So it's such a big shift to bootstrap and feed a company rather than being fed. I think that is the most challenging, is like managing the bad days. But yeah, most of them are good.
I do agree with you. Because I've also just come out from product role, and I would say that the pay was, for me, it was great. And then to not be paid is challenging. But I think it's also like it impacts how you feel as well about yourself. And that's something that I didn't know about myself before, is just that having this kind of stability and being paid and being product manager, I very much identified, related that to success in my mind. So then not being paid was like, oh my God, am I a failure now? Because my income is down to zero. So it's just like being like, absolutely not. That is not true. You're giving yourself a chance to follow a dream and create your own path forward.
Absolutely. I think, I don't know if this is an Asian thing, but definitely like money coming in or your success professionally or academically, or kind of institutionally from within kind of my experience anyway, has been the kind of points of validation within societies, within families. And yeah, it is like where you were validated before by like the grades that you were getting or the position that you had or the salary that you were getting. Now, as a kind of like an entrepreneur, when you're starting out, you don't have any of that. Like you have to give yourself a pat on the back. Like you have to validate yourself. So yeah, I can imagine how that must have been. Yeah, it's a shift. So yeah. I can imagine how you feel.
How has building a business impacted you on a personal level?
There was a time in my life where I was quite, like I had so much confidence in myself. I still do. I'm a very confident person. And that is an acquired skill. Like you train and you have to like believe like I'm confident. I'm quite a confident person. I was very independent. But during my entrepreneurial journey, I learned to ask for help and to basically use my network to help me achieve my dream. And I think that's quite important for people to understand, is that if you have that network, if you have that support, don't be scared of asking for help. And that has just been amazing, whether it's from my family or from my friends and loved ones and my like network. The help that my network has given me has just been tremendous. So yeah, I think it's don't be afraid to ask for help.
What kind of help have you asked for?
So I'm a fractional product and AI officer. I've been in product growth roles. We have ideas. We want to problem solve, and so we always have ideas. But and within those product roles, I had teams who helped me execute on those ideas. Now, as a founder, and we only have a team of two, I have to ask advice from my network around, you know, like the experiments that I have to do, my funnels. I have my co-founder who's a CTO, but it's just the two of us. So sometimes we have to ask for advice from other people to help us ideate and validate our ideas, because you might have done it before, but it's hard. Sometimes it's hard for you to apply it on your own baby. So that has been one. It's a mixture of types of help, but mostly it has been advice.
Thank you for sharing that. We're going to get into our final questions now. First of all, some habit-related ones. Can you just share what a typical day looks like for you?
There's no ever a typical day. Like today, I am doing this podcast. And then after this, I'm going to be doing some marketing. So I'm going to be recording content. And then after that, I have lunch in town with one of my kind of like close friends who give me a lot of product advice. And then after that, I'm meeting an influencer, an AI influencer. And then after that, I'm going to be a keynote speaker at The Conduit today with Earth AI, talking about how to build climate change solutions. And then after that, I'm going to Northampton because I'm at an exhibit tomorrow. So there's never a typical day, which is great.
Yeah, super varied. I love that. Is there one habit that you have that you feel helps you move forward on a regular basis?
Is there one habit that I have? It's data tracking. Like on a Sunday, I just basically look at all my channels and log down how I performed that week. And in doing so, I'm able to reflect on what's worked and what's not. And yeah, it's one habit that I recommend for all entrepreneurs is track your data.
So when you say platforms, is this your Launch Lemonade platform or social media platforms or just all of it?
Not just Launch Lemonade, my personal branding, but Scale That Things as well. So it's all about like just tracking the performance of all the channels. I think when you're an entrepreneur, especially now, you'll understand that personal branding is also everything. So you present your product. So yeah, it's my channels and my brands.
Fantastic. Is there a book or resource that you have read recently that you think is worth letting the audience know about that they should go and look up?
I have been reading a lot of AI books, but I'm actually reading now a sales book, which is 100 million leads. It's very interesting so far. I already recommend it. It's all about experimenting and like what to experiment, but also learning about the author's experimentations and their key learnings on it. But if you are into AI and you want to understand what the possibilities are and you're wanting to build, The Coming Wave has like really changed how I ideated. I started ideating and thinking about it. Mustafa Suleiman wrote it. He was one of the founders of DeepMind. So yeah, I recommend it. Like when I was reading it, I was just like, oh my God, but also, oh my God, we can build this. Oh my God, this is going to happen. Oh my God, we can build this. So The Alignment Problem is also a really good book in understanding the bias in data. So if you're specifically like a woman or from a minority group, you might want to understand like how AI works and why there's bias. It's quite technical, but if you're very curious about AI, I recommend it. Yeah.
And the final question, what is one piece of advice that you have received that served you well?
I just wrote about this actually, and I said the same thing in a previous podcast, recent podcast that I was in. And I think it is still the same advice that I will say over and over again. It is shoot your shot. You don't get a lot of opportunities to take that shot. So when you do, just take it.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. It's been a really insightful session, I would say. Thank you so much. How can people find you and Launch Lemonade?
Yeah, so you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Chen Solon, CienSolon. I also have a personal website, chensolon.com, and launchlemonade.app. If you want to learn anything about it, we're at launchlemonade.app.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast episode today, please do hit the subscribe button and share this episode with like-minded connections. I'd also like to take this opportunity to let you know that I'm sharing knowledge on how to build tech products. If this sounds like something that's going to be helpful to you, please subscribe to the SheFounds newsletter. The link will be in the show notes.